This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. What's going on? Hey, Dell, he brought his card today, which was nice. You didn't have to go downstairs and get him.
Should he be applauded for that like he's a child?
No. It was actually, it's a step in the right direction, although he did forget the gavel again today for the 19th straight
day. You know what made me think of it? Because John was saying something in the before the show. I'm like, he said something. I'm like, oh, gavel. Like it in my head, it sounded like a gavel-worthy comment that he was
I've
making.
I've never said anything that deserves a gavel, okay?
Oh,
never.
I'll tell you during the break. I'm not going to put him out there like that. I'll tell you during the break. I won't say any of it.
What was it? I didn't say anything.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, I know what it was. I know what it was.
As soon as you said that, I thought to myself, I instinctively said, where's my gavel?
Oh, damn it.
Oh, I forgot it again.
But she was hot. What are you going to do? So it looks like we could have the Redskins. Daniel Snyder's finally going to give in.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to.
Once FedEx got involved, it was over.
Listen, I think Red Tails is perfect. You can keep the colors. The logo can be similar to what you used to have with the spear. You keep the red in the name. You honor the four pilots?
I think three of the Tuskegee Airmen,
yeah.
I believe is what it was.
Yeah.
Red Tails, there's a movie about it as well. But I read somewhere, I think it's from the Washington Post, that there will not be any Native American imagery. So the spear, you won't see it.
No, I'm not saying the spear. You're going to use a plane now. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the spear. I'm saying you could. The logo can be similar, you know, in that. Yeah, they did a mock-up of what they would use, and they still had that the Native American face on with the airplane.
The old cap on.
Yeah,
but he had a really. I don't know. If that's supposed to be a brown face or a red face.
Right. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Just don't do that. Just put a plane. Just make it a plane. And, oh, by the way, FedEx would love that, too, maybe. But you could put FedEx across it. How'd that be?
The MLS would be fall right in line.
Yeah. The MLS will do that.
Logos on stuff, yeah.
Oh, soccer loves to put names on stuff.
Or on
you know what? It's a way to make up some money. Put the name. Put FedEx across it. So, who cares? But you know, finally giving in, he has been staunch. I mean, how long has he said, I'm not changing it? You're changing it, okay? When you start to hear people say, you know what, players, you need to go, you need to not play until he changes the name. Then you go, wait. And oh, wait, maybe this is offense, and maybe it's the time to change it. So,
see, what I felt like is it's the same thing. So it goes back to, this is where I learned this lesson. The time was 2002, and John and I, when we first started doing radio, we built up a good following, and ratings went up, revenue and advertising went up. There was great interest in the show. It was called The Bench in the early days of 610. And then new management came in, and they said, well, let's change your name from The Bench, and all your listeners are bench warmers. Let's change it to The John and Lance Show. It's like Cocoa Pebbles changing to Chocolate Crispy Cereal. Like, what? And let's also add a guy named Russ Small on, because what that will do is maybe give a more adult presence to your show. And also, we want him to be the Houston Texans play-by-play announcer. Right. That was the reason they brought him on. So they tried to jackhammer him in our show, and it just didn't work. I mean, ironically, it was supposed to be you and Russ initially doing the morning show,
right.
And until he bailed out. But he didn't fit our chemistry at all. It's just not his fault. He just didn't fit the show that we did and that we do today. And management didn't care. The Texans said, he's not going to be our play-by-play announcer. This is in 2001.
Right.
They said, well, when we come into existence next year, he's not our, you can't tell us who the playbook. And they said, we just gave you $75 million. We think we can tell you who your play-by-play announcer is going to be. We're pretty sure we can tell you that. And the Texans, and so they operated as though, yes, we can. So you get paid, not by the Texans, the radio. So the radio station said, well, if we're going to have, we're going to put him on, pay him as our, as our, as a host, and then we're going to put him on with the Texans. The Texans kept saying, I'm telling y'all, he ain't going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, I know you have broadcast rights that you just paid for, $75 million, but which that ain't happening anymore. But so he was on our show, and our ratings went down about 80%. And that's not a lie. I mean, the ratings just crashed, and they didn't care. Like they weren't going to budge, and they didn't budge. And I know you remember this. They didn't budge until, and I mean, the show just was not the same. They did not budge until, I think it was a group. It was Jim Barr from Wireless Attractions. It was Klein's Fine Jewelry. It was like three big advertisers. I think everyone's internet maybe. Either three or four big advertisers got together and said, listen, we will not spend. If you guys don't make a change to this morning show, we're done spending on your radio station. And once money got involved, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, hey, it's the John and Lance show again. You know, it's not the bench. I mean, they had kept that off. But that's when they made a change, is when money got involved, everything changed.
Yep.
They were staunch. And by the way, Russ never was play-by-play announcer. Mark Vandermeer was. But they were staunchly against it until the dough got. Once the bread got involved, all of a sudden, all bets were off. I'll never forget that that's money is what moves it. As soon as I heard FedEx is like, we're reconsidering our partnership, I'm like, well, this is it. What's the new name then? Because once $250 million is involved,
oh, yeah.
It's a wrap.
As soon as FedEx said, that's it. That's all. Now, okay, we're going to do it. Whatever you guys want.
I think Indians will change. Braves will not change. I don't think the Seminoles will change.
I don't think the Chiefs will change.
I don't think the Chiefs will change.
I
don't think it's offensive.
I don't think Braves is offensive.
No, they got a great community. They got a great relationship inside that community.
And the Seminoles are in lockstep with Florida State.
Are they?
Yes, the Seminole Nation. They enjoy it.
I wonder if they. I do agree because they've. I don't know how deep into it they are, but they have talked about what they would like the imagery to be. So I don't think the Florida State will have a problem. I do wonder if the Seminole Nation is thrilled with when they have that white kid running out on a horse in brown face.
Do they still do that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they're. Now I could see that.
Yeah, changing. I could see that certainly changing. But they have. I think they have a scholarship program for if you have Seminole blood.
They should.
Pretty sure they.
Yeah, do. And why don't you know use one of your own?
I don't know if they want to be performative and riding on a horse to throw a spear in before a football game. I don't know if that's even something they're interested in. But I'm pretty sure the guy who does it or throughout the years.
So that's still a thing where they throw it down on the
before
ground?
Before the game, the burning spear? We just don't watch it because they suck. So we don't care. But they still do that. I don't know if the whole, hey, let's have a really tan white dude on the horse is something they're fond of. But who knows?
John's a really tan white guy.
Yeah.
Look at. No, they'd
you
say.
You want to do something, John?
Oh no, they'd say. Oh, he may be Seminole.
No, they would. No, they would ask. They wouldn't just say he may.
That's
be
what
Seminole.
They'd say. But he look. He could be African American. We don't know.
No, I don't think that's what they say.
Why would
they?
And wanna, he's in the Jewish community.
African American.
And the Asian community.
How does African American? All of them. Why would African American have anything to do with the Seminole Nation?
Seminole Nation. Well, but it's okay because he's African American.
They would say probably not. You know, our very own, at least formerly our very own, Carmelo Anthony chimed in on this. We are not equal until all our communities are equal. In support of our Native American communities, the use of the Native mascot needs to end. And he included the names, obviously the one that's in Washington, Warriors, Braves, Indians, Chiefs, Blackhawks. They all need to go. Apparently, he's in concert with people, and and he was like, no, the Chiefs aren't fine. The Braves aren't fine.
Yeah, they are.
Blackhawks.
Why aren't they fine?
I don't. Well,
you're actually honoring the leader of the tribe.
Well, you'd have to ask Native Americans if they feel like they're being honored.
Well, but if you know if you're not using and oh by the way, Blackhawks. I'm pretty sure they had a relationship with Chicago Blackhawks.
Do they appreciate that Blackhawk?
What about the Fighting Illini?
Well, I don't. These are the questions.
Illinois is named after the Illini tribe. Should we change the name of the state?
If the Illini tribe doesn't want to be named, I don't know. You have to ask the tribes. This isn't really something for us to determine whether it's offensive or not. The people who are being their imagery who's being used should be able to determine that. I don't know who Carmelo Anthony knows, but he tweeted that yesterday that all these names should go. I wonder if people who are fans or Native Americans are thrilled with the Braves and the chant. I have no idea. I don't know.
Think it's hard to Google it and find. I mean, if you want to write an article that they're not, you can find somebody. You can write it. If you want to write an article that they're fine with it, you find somebody who is, and you get quotes. And
yeah.
You know, you can do either side of that one, because I've read things on both accounts over the years about that, especially with Indians. Really not so much on Braves. I know the Braves are pretty adamant and vehement that they're not changing because they've got a great relationship. I don't think they would say that publicly since there's a bunch of receipts for everything.
Well,
Indians, I think that's done.
The Braves are keeping the name, but they are talking about removing the tomahawk chop from their repertoire.
Mm-hmm. So, Florida is getting rid of the chomp.
The gator bait. Yeah, well.
We'll see. I'll bet you it's back at games.
Oh, yeah, the fans will do it.
2021.
They're going to do it. They're just not going to start with the music that they play. But the fans are going to do it.
Yeah.
No question.
I wonder if they say if you do it, we'll throw you out. Who knows?
Oh, really? They're going to throw everybody in the stadium out?
They are. Who knows? It is an alligator is their mascot.
Yeah, but gator
alligators have a long history.
Yeah, but gator bait is.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying the chomp
is fine.
We're going to get you and chomp you up. They're going to do the chomp.
No, the chomp is not in question. It's that song that gets played. Dun, 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 dun,
they can't. They won't play that.
Yeah, that's in question.
No. All right, 7-Eleven ESPN.
Wait. That's the Gator song? Dun, 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 dun. I was thinking that's LSU.
Gators. Dun. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh, but they don't say Gator bait. They don't say that, right? I never know what they're saying. I know the music that plays in the background for, like, what's the LSU one that they play all the time?
That Tiger.
Yeah.
No, not that.
Dun, 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 dun. Go, Tiger.
That's right. They play that. Dun, dun, dun. And USC has one, too. They must have played it 100,000 times.
Michigan and Oklahoma.
During the game. It's just like one little song.
I was wrong. This is the song that the go Gators. That'll be fine. But this is the one they're going to have to get rid of. Because it starts the Gator Bait chant.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that one. I'm more familiar with the one that you're saying. The other one.
Yeah, that one, that's the Go Gator ones. But the other one, it just, you see the music drops out and they say Gator Bait or whatever. So that
did they say they're taking out, is it official or taking out Eyes of Texas?
I think the players aren't singing it.
Literally, yeah.
The players aren't singing it. I don't know whether or not they're taking it out.
Because literally, I was thinking about that. That's a tremendous part of their branding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, huge part of their branding. It's, and that's one where... Dun, 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 like, in-game is what you'll hear the band play.
Yep.
Once again, I don't know if we'll have in-game. When we come back, we do have some news and notes as I think the first domino has fallen officially to move football to the spring, and then one academic and athletic program, one program known for academic and athletics, has made some big cuts, and this could be the future of college athletics as we know it from now until January. So we'll talk about that.
What's in my future? More hair. That's right, because of Doc Linville.
What?
Yeah, me and Fred. It is spectacular. Have you seen Fred's hair? I want to tell you something. Oh, he's got hair now. If you're looking for, if you want to look like Fred, I don't know if you want to look like Fred, but here's the deal is if you want hair, if you want a full head of hair, I honestly, it sucks to not have, I had a giant bald spot in the back and it's filled in nicely. You can't. It's like you can't even tell that it was. No, obviously, it's thinner than it was before, but it is so much better. I feel like I have a full head of hair now, and it's all because of Doc Linville. And oh, by the way, if you're someone who's thinning, the doc can help you out as well. He can you know take the blood out and put it in and get that growth spurt. He can do it all. See, the doc is awesome. He works all kinds of plastic surgeries, but this is the Neo grafting for us guys, and it is awesome. It's safe, it's easy, and it's a wonderful process. I was 4 hours in the chair. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and see for yourself. You're thinning or you're bald, 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 718 ESPN 97.5. Speaking of Carmelo Anthony. Oh, by the way, somebody said, shut up, Carmelo. Aren't you telling everybody to go to historically black colleges and universities? Didn't you go to Syracuse? Just shut up.
Well, maybe he's changed.
I don't know.
He went to Syracuse 2003. That happened. He could change.
The Orange Man. Like, what?
Excuse me? Deshaun is on with Carmelo. Did you see? It's on ESPN. Right. Or it's on Yard Barker, I think, Dell. Don't you? See if you can grab. It's on ESPN too. ESPN had it as well. Maybe you can grab some bites from that. And JJ talked a little bit about it as well yesterday about the safety of it. We can pull those bites too. We'll do that a little bit later. Did you happen to see Forrest Whitley throw yesterday?
No.
Yeah, he threw 25 pitches to live hitters. And looked pretty damn good doing it.
Good.
Yeah, because Urquidy's not there and Josh James not there. Mm-hmm.
I remember the last time that Forrest Whitley looked pretty good throwing to people. It was 2004, I think, when he was drafted.
I don't think it was 2004. 2003? No, I think it was a little later than that.
It just seems like he's been in the system for
yeah,
a while.
For
it really hasn't. Ever. I mean, it's been like 2 years that he's had buzz, but last year was a zero year.
Yeah.
So it was the year before. 2 years ago is when he really picked up all the steam.
Yeah, he got his suspension, and then he just sucked last year. So he said, that's the first adversity I've ever had on the field.
He sucked after his suspension, right?
Well, yeah, but he had a whole year of just suck. And
Yeah. The whole year was a waste.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe he's going to come around. Brian McTaggart says he doesn't have a chance of making the opening day roster, but if he keeps on pitching well in, you know, with simulated games because they're not having any minor league games, so it's going to be hard to prove that you're ready to go at the major league. Like, come up from Corpus Christi just throwing to guys that aren't in the big leagues and then coming up and pitching in the big leagues, it's going to be a difficult task. But, I mean, that's 2020. What are you going to do? But at least he looked good. But the Urquidy and Josh James things is a little disheartening, seeing as how that was your fourth and fifth starter.
Yeah, fourth for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Urquidy was, and Josh James was more than likely going to be your fifth starter. Mm-hmm. So that's a little disheartening. Now, Framber is going to have to step up. There's no question about it. Framber is probably the guy in the rotation he's going to have to step up.
Urquidy is not with the team because of a condition.
Yes, which they can't say.
Which they can't say.
Right.
I've got a feeling I know what it is.
Yeah. Was he hanging out with Frankie at all?
Probably.
You think?
In Florida at some point. HIPAA, you have to give permission?
Well, no. In Major League rules say you, yeah. You.
Major League, no, they came out and said you got to say, they can't say who has it.
No, right. That's permission. What I'm saying. Yeah. Major League Baseball is the rule.
And that's what I think. Yeah, that's what I think.
It is what it is.
That's probably what's going on. I find it strange. I know some people who don't want people to know that they have or had. Well, I think it's when they had COVID, they didn't want people to know.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel like it's a shameful. This isn't herpes or chlamydia or something. It's not an STD.
Well, maybe all their friends are like Nick.
Yeah, Nick doesn't want to be around anyone who's ever had
yeah,
it.
Yeah, now that's the strange part to me, because right? That's one of the things that
I asked him that question. He was like, I don't want to be by you. But no. It's over. I got better from it.
I don't want to be near you.
Actually, I'm a hero.
Nope.
I beat it.
You didn't beat it?
So I didn't beat it because I didn't get it. But are you really heroic? Here's some numbers for you, Lance. You're a numbers guy, am I right?
That's what people say.
Chance of surviving COVID-19 by age and sex. Females, no underlying conditions, from 0 to 79 years old, it's over 99% chance of recovering.
Where you get, just put where you're getting these numbers from. Facebook?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, now you made me close it, and now I can't find... Nice job.
What QAnon website are you on right now?
I'm on Twitter.
I just want to know what, just so you can put it out there for people. So
put it, health system capacity, Stockholm University.
Okay.
Okay, health system capacity, Stockholm University. Even if you have underlying conditions from 0 to 60, you have 99% chance of recovering. If you're 60 to 69, 98, 70 to 79, 97, even underlying conditions, you still have a 92% chance of recovery.
Now, is this all data, or is this in Stockholm? Or is this just is this country data, or
I have no international idea. I don't know. I didn't do the study.
Because there are different numbers in different countries right now.
Yeah.
Like Asian countries are much, much lower. So they've studied.
Well,
if
you have a proliferation of O blood type, you.
I've heard that.
Yeah, no, O is you pretty much don't have symptoms, or you don't. It doesn't hit you for whatever reason. That blood type, it
really?
Doesn't. Yeah.
Is that what Wendy's
yeah.
is?
Yeah, Wendy's and mine too. I might have been around it and it just didn't get it.
I'm AB negative.
What are you?
AB negative.
Oh, AB negative? Oh, you are prime.
You're definitely negative.
You probably just
you're
get
just
it and die.
That, aren't you? I'm AB negative with asthma. That's why I've been, you know, and I've seen these numbers and they give me some comfort. I've seen numbers like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done the math and I've seen where the numbers are coming down on. The unfortunate thing is, if you do have it, look out. If it's a bad version or if you're just, your body type is just going to... That's the thing that people like, oh, it's no big... But the problem is there's such a drastic difference between the asymptomatic people and the people who end up on ventilators or die. The guy who handles my contracts told me just yesterday, his neighbor, 52 years old, no underlying symptoms at all, dead. Died in 12 days. Somebody in our neighborhood, his father was in his mid-60s, gone.
Yeah, I don't know if there's different strains or whatever.
I learned about 3 people in 2 days
right.
after not knowing, kind of a 1 degree of separation where I don't know the people personally. That was the first time that I've had like boom. I've heard more anecdotal deaths. This is like boom, 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 boom. And that's why it still is a stark reminder like, oh yeah, if you get the respiratory a serious respiratory situation, or maybe if there's a certain blood type, whatever it is that affects certain people more than others, then
here's the thing though, is we're finding the death rate is lower and lower and lower because we got more and more and more and more tests.
Right.
So I think we're finding out that a bunch of people had it, didn't know it, and people are walking around with it, don't know it. And are testing positive or have antibodies already, and we're finding out that it's really not as deadly as we thought. It's deadly to the people, to poor people that have died. I have sympathy, obviously, but the death rate predictions were way off.
Tying into what Lance had teased before, we didn't get to
right.
it. COVID has led to the Ivy League postponing all fall sports.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even sure they're going to have spring football. That's still up for debate. And they won't have basketball until at the earliest after January 1st. And I think the other thing you were talking about, that Stanford after this upcoming season, if they're actually able to play, 11 sports are going to no longer be part of Camp Stanford's athletic profile.
Because of Title IX, you must eliminate equally men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be some men's sports. If you are not a revenue generating sport, you know, your days are numbered. So we'll see if they eventually come back. My guess is if the economy bounces back, the economy's, it's not going to bounce back quickly. There is no V. It's like I was listening to an economist. He said the economy is completely uncoupled from stock market, where the stock, it's kind of rare for this to happen, but the stock market will look a certain way. And if you think the stock market is the economy, you're wrong, because the stock market is running off of more emotional stuff. That's why there's the big spikes. But the economy obviously is not in great shape. Many of us know that who have been hit by it hard. In some sectors, it's more insulated. In other sectors, it's being devastated. Like the anything that's the where you rely on a customer base, like the hospitality business, it's going to be brutalized over the entire year, and will be. And many restaurants will not come back. But then there will be others that are kind of unaffected. Like if you got a bike place, apparently bike places are going great.
Well, bike place, you can't. You got to wait in line to get.
Yeah,
them.
You can't get it. I mean, bike places are going bananas. Yeah. And there's going to be other sectors.
And people steal them, and then you have to buy another one.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's happens to people.
But
that
11
happens.
Varsity programs are being cut from Stanford.
Yeah,
so
here they are. Men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling.
Mm-hmm. On the West Coast, the biggest of those is the rowing is a big deal more in the Ivy Leagues, but that would be considered crew. I don't know if it's the same. But the men's volleyball is kind of a big deal.
A big deal the West Coast. In the Pac-12.
And
it is.
And in wrestling is always wrestling is a sport that gets some attention too. Maybe not as big, certainly
not
as
out
Stanford,
there,
but
no.
Men's volleyball is a big deal in Pac-12.
Yeah,
that's a really big deal. So that's just the beginning. No, there's going to be a lot of other schools. You start here, whether football goes or not, a lot of schools are going to have to start eliminating programs.
Yeah,
scholarships programs that will happen, and then if college football doesn't go in the fall, more will be eliminated. And then if it doesn't go at all this year, then you're going to see entire athletic programs wiped out. And we've already heard, Mark Schlaubach already told us all the numbers that are coming. Mm-hmm. He said, it's coming. It's going to come. And non-Power 5 conferences, unless they can get people in the stands, they're going to get hit. They're just going to be unbelievably punished. And unfortunately, you know, Rice and University of Houston are non-Power 5 conferences right here in the city, or teams. So, I could see a scenario where Houston basketball and football might be.
I don't want to speak for Rice or Houston, but there will be cuts.
There will be cuts. No cuts of entire programs.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
729 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about, you want somebody to cut you a check? How about John Clay Wolf? He'll cut you that big check, because John Clay Wolf is buying cars like at a rate he's never done it before. But a couple of things. First of all, they need used vehicles, because the new car production was shut down in Detroit and Chicago, so they're behind on that. So there's a big demand for used vehicles. So he's paying you more. Secondly, there's more people getting out of cars right now because the new vehicles are 72 months of interest-free payments. I want to get out of that, and I want to get into interest-free payments. So people are selling their cars like crazy. This is a great time to sell your car, and the best place to do it is GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf will pay you more, period, exclamation point. He said it on a $25,000 car, he paid $28,000 just to get the car, $3,000 more. So he's doing that all the time. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, see for yourself, GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
With all of the lights, turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything, want you to see all of the
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 732 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Carmelo Anthony is doing, what is it called? What's in your glass? Or how is your glass full or something? He's doing some kind of virtual thing with athletes, and he's talking to them about stuff. So he had Deshaun Watson on and asked him, well, you got the quote, asked him what how it's going to be in the locker room now after this offseason.
It's going to be different. I honestly, right now, today, couldn't tell you exactly how it's going to be, but it's definitely going to be a lot of tests for a lot of people, especially, you know, for the white teammates. And majority of the, you know, players in the NFL are African-American guys, black guys. So for people to walk in that locker room, you know, and majority of that locker room is black, you know what I'm saying, are the white guys tagging along, you know, are the coaching staff tagging along. I know Coach O'Brien already said he's going to tag along. You know, I know he's going to take a knee, and he said he's going to support us regardless of what he said or what we say, you know. And then, of course, I know the owner for us, he's on a different environment. You know, he's still trying to figure out what's going on.
Knowledge is power.
Whatever he's sounding. Was that it wasn't it. I don't think it was an intended shot. I think he's just like, well, he's just trying to figure stuff out. I don't know.
He's still trying to get. I think what he was trying to say was he's still trying to educate himself on things and really learn. I think he was.
Knowledge
was
is power. Saying, is that he said?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to. I'll just let Deshaun's words speak. And the owner, I mean.
And he's trying to figure stuff out.
You know, just watch a video. Just watch a video. Steven Jackson.
Trying to figure stuff out.
Steven Jackson found some consequences for his
commentary. Well, wait. There's more on Deshaun. Yeah. Well, Cal got put on notice, if you want to know the truth. Not only did he give him, you know, hey, he's trying to figure stuff out, you know, that whole quote. he also says that, you know, hey, you know, took it a step further. You know, what do you see is going to happen in the locker room? And Deshaun called him out and told him this.
Well, the owners of the NFL like old world, right? So they know what it's like. And then they know what the real is. So do you find it uncomfortable for those owners to be able to talk about that and to discuss it with the players or not?
I think it's going to be uncomfortable. I personally haven't talked to our owner. I talked to the head coach. I talked to Jack Easterby. I talked to the main guys that, you know, deal with the players and deal with the front office. But I personally haven't talked to the owner. But I know whenever, you know, we report the camp, everybody in our locker room is expecting the owner on day one to come talk to us and communicate with us, ask us questions, let them know that, hey, you know, he's there supporting us. He's supporting his players. Because if not, then it's going to be some issues for sure.
Knowledge is power.
That's not at the end of it that every time Deshaun.
No, that's how he's going to finish off sentences from now on.
So don't Deshaun put him on. Hey, you're on the clock here. First day, you better be in there. You better be in there.
Cal, you'll hear a vote. Cal's the only dissenting owner who wants the season pushed back to 2022.
I don't want to go in the locker room. Nah, he's going to go in there and he's going to talk to him, whether or not any. I mean, knowledge is power, but I don't know that anything's going to get. I don't know. We'll see.
What'd you say, John?
The McNairs put their
knowledge is power.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yes, knowledge is power. I know that already. I know that. It seems like the McNairs do. They pay, they donate. They certainly financially. You can never say that the McNairs have not. They are, you know, rich, really white people, and there's nothing they can do about that.
Frankly, there's just too many white people.
Yeah, that's right. There are too many white owners. Looks like we could have, did you see that there's a possibility of a Major League Baseball team in Nashville?
And yeah, they want to call them the Black Stars? Is that what they want to call them?
No, they're going to have the first black ownership.
No, I thought that might be the name of the team because it was a Negro League name.
I think they're just calling them the Stars. That's what I saw.
Hey, let's go all in.
You want to go all in on the Black Stars? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. maybe a relocation or expansion. And Dave Stewart, you know, former
closer. Dave's got some pitcher. Cash like that? He's got cake like that?
Oh, I don't know if he's going to be part of the ownership group, but he said this needs to get done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that yeah, that'd be great. And would it be neat to have, yeah, Major League Baseball? There is a thing, though. I mean, you, Lance and I were talking. It's difficult in baseball. If, you know, hey, the Astros have done their part. They've put parks in urban areas, and RBI Foundation gets balls and equipment and everything else. If the game isn't attractive to young African Americans, it's difficult.
I think that's a big problem that doesn't get. You know, it feels like some of the arguments about do you not understand. One of the comments I saw was from Ian Desmond, who left baseball, or he's off this year, but he said the amount of black participation in baseball is terrible. Like, John, this has been a topic that you and I have talked about forever, at least 15 years.
Yes.
Minimum of 15 years. That's something that everyone would like to see change, because the baseball we grew up with had a lot more representation. This is not baseball systemically squeezing out black baseball players. There is a lack of, enjoyment in from a younger set. First of all, a younger segment of kids don't like baseball as much.
No.
Some of it's attention span. It takes too long. They consider it boring. Whatever the case may be, that is a generational problem they're having right now. That's just the truth. But Del, I mean, if you want to speak
second,
to your kid,
something else. There's secondly. Is it how long it takes to get to the big leagues?
Yeah.
You can get to the NBA at age 18.
Well,
you can get to the NFL at 21 years old.
But participation even in the lowest levels of baseball.
Right.
It does take, from a community standpoint, it takes parks. It takes. That's why the RBI Equipment. Foundation in Houston is so important. For years, they provided the tools needed to play the game and things like that. And yes, at the elite level, my kids aren't elite baseball players, but they have. It's expensive, bats and gloves and all that. It is expensive. It's a kind of a sneaky expensive sport, especially if you're good. If you're really good, if you want to follow the path of being really good, a lot of travel teams for AAU are funded through shoe
They're
companies
funded,
and things like that.
Yeah.
With baseball, when you're, not so much.
No, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Oh, are they really?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well, maybe at the highest
at the highest level. If you're really good, you're going
to
get paid. Don't worry. Somebody will pick it up for you. Somebody will pick it up for you. Don't worry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as the National
because they're looking for kids that are really good.
Mm-hmm. As far as the Nashville thing, yeah, the Negro League team was the Nashville Stars. That would be the name of the team. Dave Stewart is involved in the ownership group, the potential ownership group. Dave Dombrowski's part of it. Tony La Russa as well.
Those are whiteys.
Yeah. But Dave Stewart, not whitey. But but the other two certainly. But he's the, as you might imagine, very outspoken about it. This is what baseball should do. They should open the doors to black ownership, diverse ownership. This is the time for baseball to do something they've never done. For what this country is going through and what baseball is going through, there will be residual effect. This is history. And then he goes on to talk about some of the minority owners in terms of their stakes, like Magic Johnson and Derek Jeter, but he says they don't have real ownership because their stakes are so small. So, I mean, I don't know how quickly it gets done, because is baseball looking to expand at all?
I don't know that. But they're talking. I don't know if they're going to move a team, or Miami ought to move there. Get out of there.
But you mean Derek Jeter's team?
Yeah, Derek. Yeah, that's true.
But to the other point, Miami would.
Well, there's some. I mean,
but he just said the stakes are so small. He's talking about a black owned team that with a large stake, not Derek Jeter, who's, I guess, according to Dave Stewart, has a small stake
in it. Yeah. Well, let's get Chuck in here before we take a break. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about season restarts. What's up, Chuck? Chuck, are you there?
He's got the radio on.
Oh, Chuck. See, that's not how you do it. That's just not how you do it. All right. Never mind. What did you want to say?
No, I was just going to say, but to the other point about I think baseball would love a much more substantial amount of African-American players coming into the sport from the youth levels all the way up to the professional levels from a fanship. I mean, there's black baseball fans. We've got them who listen right now. But it's not the same, you know, it's not the same percentage.
And I think the ages of these black baseball fans.
It's usually older.
Yeah.
So. Usually older. Like, that's why I said it's a generational thing. I mean, you see baseball has an older fan base to an extent. And I'm not saying there's no young fans. I know there's lots of hardcore baseball fans out there. Somebody listening right now has kids who's a hardcore baseball fan. I'm not saying it's everybody. But what I am saying is Major League Baseball would love to get as diverse a following and as robust a following as possible. I don't think baseball knows it's not in their best interest, and I don't think baseball has any desire not to have the black community much more involved in baseball. It's slipped off for quite some time, and back in the 90s, you could read articles about the falling number of participation mm-hmm. from black communities in Little League baseball, but then especially on the major league level. And that's just been something that's been ongoing for quite some time. And I don't think it's something, you know, us growing up, you remember the Cincinnati Red teams, Pittsburgh Pirate teams. There were teams that had a heavier percentage of black players at that time. But you just don't, Yankees, you just don't see it as much
now. Yeah. It was that's why that Little League team that just from Chicago.
Yeah. That was a big deal.
Except then they were cheating and they had 16-year-olds. Yes.
So they followed in baseball's.
Yeah, they cheated.
Yeah,
that's what we do. We cheat to win. Time to talk about. Do you know who doesn't cheat? Is Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford. Much more peeps over there at Chastang Ford. Love what they do for you. Hey, listen, when you've been in business as long as the Chastangs have been, how many people can say that since 1933 they've had a car dealership in the city or any kind of business in the city since 1933? Are you kidding me? 87 years and you're still doing business and you're doing business, more business than ever. And you're the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city because you know why you are is because people trust you. You know why people trust? Because they keep, you know that people trust you because they keep coming back. More return and referral business than they do new business. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But that's the way the Chastangs do it. When you are with the Chastang family, you are part of the family. I'm telling you, you will love it. 84 months now of interest-free payments. Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable. Now is the time to get there. They got great deals on the F-150s and all the great cars and trucks over at Chastang Ford. Nothing down, no payments for 6 months. They've got all the deals. Go to ChastangFord.com. It's just 5 minutes from downtown on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's go. 713-780-3776. We actually have some calls in here. Let's see if Chuck is doing it right now. And he's actually on his phone. Hey, Chuck.
What's up, guys?
Hey, doing?
Kind of a serious question. What do y'all think the longer sports don't go on, but you hear more and more comments from like Carmelo, Deshaun, and Deshaun Jackson and all that, that the longer it doesn't go on, how much of a backlash might they get coming up? Because I know like my mom and sister, they're done with the NFL because of how they crucified Drew Brees. And I'm just wondering, the longer we're not playing, I can't wait for football, personally. But they keep saying 75% of the players are black, or 80% of the fans are white. Eventually, that's going to start really hurting people's feelings in the wrong places. Just what y'all's opinion. All I got to say.
80% of NFL fans are white? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know
what that number is.
I feel like that's accurate. And
I don't know what the number is.
I don't feel like that's accurate. Well, at least not in this city. This is a more diverse city, but
the NFL does have a, and I'm using Twitter because they make the jokes, a MAGA reputation. If you compare them to the other Well, it's really compared to the NBA, to be honest with you. That's because Twitter on the in the NBA, it's they're big, and they give the NFL that tag, whether it's true or not.
Well, attendance at games, I don't know. We have a large Hispanic community.
Houston, yeah.
Yeah, we have a large Hispanic community.
Yeah, black, Hispanic, Asian. Yeah. But this is a different city. But no, I whatever. I don't want to get caught up in the 80% thing. I do think it's unfortunate. The, Drew, there was a really good article in Harper's, my wife sent me about really the bullying of opinions, the lack of communication, how it's really starting to get narrowed and narrowed and narrowed, where you're really not allowed to, especially if you're a writer or somebody who has to give public opinion on a consistent basis. People are more and more afraid to have any kind of dissenting opinion. And Drew Brees had what would be considered a dissenting opinion. I think it was, from a timing standpoint, wasn't smart. It was a little tone deaf. We all agree on that. I think the ability to have an opinion that is not exactly like other people's is certainly something that was never. Look at this very instance: the Malcolm Jenkins, not Malcolm Jenkins, but the Colin Kaepernick situation from start until, let's just say, January of 2020. There were discussions internally, externally, sports radio, whatever, where people had differences of opinion. Now, that same topic elicited the response from Malcolm Jenkins that it did. Now, I think, unfortunately, what's going to happen is there are going to be more and more people who look at the DeSean Jackson stuff, who really, frankly, a lot of them may not care about whatever DeSean Jackson said because it doesn't affect them. I talked to Jeff Schwartz about this a little bit. Jeff and his brother Mitchell, who plays for Kansas City Chiefs. Jeff played in the NFL for quite a few years. Mitchell is one of the better right tackles in football right now. It hit hard for them. They are very disappointed, and they're very disappointed, I think, in more guys around the league not standing up for them. Just so they know they have their back from a religious standpoint and a teammate standpoint. And I think that's going to be something where I was just looking at that because I was curious to see what people were doing going after Malcolm Jenkins, and it's as I expected, people are. It would be nice if Malcolm Jenkins would have come out, and even if he kind of soft pedals it and says, hey, listen, hit the words he used, because even Steven Jackson in his apology, he did find a way to kind of soft pedal, I don't agree with this. I didn't think he did a great job of it, but Malcolm Jenkins could have said, we feel like that's wrong. We're glad that DeSean Jackson has agreed to go to see a rabbi and learn more about the Jewish faith and educate himself. That would have been enough to me to show, hey, this is a unified front to stop and end forms of bigotry and things like that, where it's a broad based reach, and Malcolm Jenkins has not come out and said anything. I'm just saying him very specifically in this
because
case.
He was right. Yeah, because
that
outspoken.
Was his teammate, and he was crying and he was so outspoken. But Drew had a difference of opinion and was not disrespectful directly of any. People, right. He gave his opinion about something that was really a consistent opinion from 2016 moving all the way forward. And he was really summarily shut down for that. That's going to turn some people – that probably turned people off then. It's going to really turn people off now if the same bystanders are looking and saying, well, NFL players should speak out about one of their own who made a comment that clearly is out of bounds.
It is interesting – because you brought up Kaepernick and his name, and as far as quarterbacks are concerned, and who got crucified and who didn't. Now, Drew Brees, yeah, he took it. He got it for, three, 4 days? And now he will probably always, in some people's eyes, be that guy who doesn't get that it's not about the flag for some people's eyes. But Drew Brees,
despite giving $5 million for COVID to New Orleans.
Yeah, he might be that guy in some people's eyes forever.
Yeah, no, he's branded.
Yeah.
There's no question.
But as far as crucifixion, 3 or 4 days of it, Drew Brees will be, if there's an NFL season, he'll be playing quarterback.
Yep.
He will be, because he's good. Fine. Yes, exactly.
Because he's good.
As far as, I think it was Chuck's point, he said his mom or his sister, I forgot who he named, was done with the NFL because of the Drew Brees thing. Well, the guy you mentioned actually no longer plays football anymore, whether that's because of his own actions later on, but – he got summarily dismissed from the game of football because of what he did. And that is why, whether it's jokes or not jokes, people have this feeling about the NFL. And he said it 80%. I don't know what the number is, that his family is done with the NFL because they, I guess, black players took issue with Drew Brees and his statements about the flag. Whereas his family done when Colin Kaepernick got summarily dismissed from the NFL because of his issue, what he took a stand.
He did get dismissed. Now, the problem here is I do not believe that it was a that it's a conspiracy to exile Colin Kaepernick from all the owners, that it was a concerted effort. I do know that Colin Kaepernick should have been a backup the next day. If he wanted to play, and he, from what I understand, he has had some opportunities, has shot them down. He could take a league minimum deal, which is, frankly, if you're out of football 3 years, that's exactly what you're getting. There's no way that you would get anything more than that. We'll have to see if he really, really wants to come back. I think there was a time that he for sure wanted to come back, and I think owners were too afraid of fan bases bolting on them, because I know Seattle had an interest, but Seattle asked around and said, hey, we need to know if you're going to kneel this year. Because even Seattle, who's a very woke organization, lots of players, he would have been a great fit. I mean, he was the perfect fit in Seattle as a backup to Russell Wilson. They wanted to know if he was going to kneel, and he didn't know. I mean, he said at this time, he goes, I really don't know. I can't give you an answer on that. And that was enough for Seattle to back out on that. When Pete Carroll was doing all the, I can't remember why we, I don't know, for some reason we didn't sign a butt, something, I don't even remember. He remembered. That's what it was. I mean, yeah. That's 100% what it was. I know this for a fact. So I think owners were very afraid of fan base. Now, right now, owners are not going to be, I don't think owners would be afraid of that right now, especially during COVID.
No. Are you kidding? It's going to be the exact opposite.
If Colin Kaepernick,
you better, Neil,
is not in a, yeah, if Colin Kaepernick is not in a camp now, I just don't think it's about playing football for him.
You think, I mean, because the NFL can always offer deniability. Well, it just didn't work out. Do you think they would even bring him in just because it's fashionable to do it?
Yes. No, because good luck cutting.
But exactly. So how it's fashionable for them to do it.
I think some teams might.
Yeah, but there's still a base of fans who be like, no, that dude kneels all the time. And they're going to be, and I don't know what will happen once the season begins. If it does, will the alleged 80% white fan base, will they still have an issue with players kneeling?
Listen, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bill O'Brien is going to be kneeling.
Everybody's kneeling. If you don't kneel, you're going to be, it's going to be a watch for who doesn't kneel.
I understand inside the league and with the media and what they will do.
I know what you say, fan base, but it doesn't, what I'm saying is, if they're going to turn, it's going to be because coaches are now kneeling. And it's going to be, you know, I think you will see some coaches retire. We've already seen one here locally, although he didn't say it was for any reason. I just think you're going to see some coaches who say, I don't believe in this. I'm at the end of my career. I don't want to do this anymore because I don't want to have to kneel for something I don't believe in. It's not my belief. So I think you'll see some coaches back out. But from a fan base standpoint, look, the NFL is going as in whole. Roger Goodell is going to kneel. I think it's not, if you are upset by that, as soon as the commissioner does it and your team's head coach does it, you're out. If you're going to be out, that's when you're going to be out. It won't be about signing. I don't think it's going to be about signing Colin Kaepernick. Now, I think there was a legitimate concern, but one of the things I felt, a concern of fan base being angry, I understood why an owner would do that. I just thought it was overplayed that they would loot, like fans would leave the game in mass. Ain't nobody leaving the game in mass. Whoever leaves it, there's people there to pick up their season tickets. And I remember Michael Vick with the dog fighting and this, that, and the other, and everyone was so outraged, or many people were. Philadelphia didn't care. And guess what? It was not an issue in Philadelphia. I think the Colin Kaepernick thing would not, he would have stood at one point. He said he was going to stand, that he felt like he had made his point in that year. And I think that everything was a little overblown about masses of fan bases leaving if Colin Kaepernick is signed. I really think that was overdone. I think teams got too scared about that. That's my feeling.
We're talking about kneeling. Got to go to break. Did you now? I know, John, you said you weren't going to watch. Before the MLS game yesterday, they had the black players in the league come out, well, you know, mask on, all that stuff. And they had the Black Lives Matter stuff. They did the fist thing before the game. And then everyone kneeled for 8 minutes and 46 seconds of silence. You know how long?
That's long.
That long that was.
That's like a mass. When I was at like
man,
my wedding, man. Whenever I got,
they should have done what golf did at 8:46 at night. Just stop the game.
I just think they wanted to make a point. How long?
8:46.
How long that was?
Wow.
How,
did they didn't televise the whole 8:46?
Yes, they did.
They televised the whole 8:46.
Yes. They to make a point. I guess that was one of the things the MLS came up with their players to make a point.
It will make a point though. You're like, it does. Wow, this is a long.
This
long,
is a long,
long
time to be sitting on somebody's throat.
Yeah.
All right, it's 7:58 ESPN. John, we'll get you in. Oh, Chuck wants to respond to I want to hear this.
I asked a question. I just wanted to know if his family was done with when the NFL, because of someone's actions, decided you got to go. We're crucifying you. Get out of here.
I want to talk right now about hoops. Let's talk about basketball. All right, let's talk about playing some basketball. Let's talk about playing on the best goal in the history of the world. If you go to ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com, you're going to see the best goal. You're going to see tempered glass backboard. You're going to see the unbreakable rim, the unrustable stanchion. You're going to see how they can make your court. They will stencil it. They will put your kid's name. They've got lights. They've got nets to block the ball from going in the street. They've got every accessory you could possibly need for basketball. And it's just the best goal there is, period, exclamation point. So I'm telling you right here and now, if you want a goal that the kids will enjoy, that the kids will play on, that the kids will actually use because they can lower the goal and they can dunk and they can actually make baskets as opposed to a 10-foot goal which they can't reach, it's all at one place, and it's ProDunkHoops.com. Don't buy a cheap one. The installation is second to none. They will come, and they will do all the installation. You will love it. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.